listening to listener supported WPKN in Bridgeport at 89.5 FM. We are online at WPKN.org. I'm Valerie Richardson here with you until just about 7 o'clock this afternoon. And right now, I'm happy to be joined on the air by Daniel Fitzmaurice and Tina Tyson. Daniel is the executive director of the New Haven Arts Council. Tina is at the Maritime Aquarium at Norwalk. And we're going to be talking about some work they've been doing under the auspices of the Arts, Culture, and Tourism Policy Committee. So welcome to both of you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
I heard a lot about what you were doing, and I know you did some events, or at least one event in New Haven, leading up to the 2018 election. And I'm just so happy to have someone who is out there and talking about how we can make the state a richer place to live rather than the endless series of cuts that we've been hearing about in the past several years. So why don't you talk a little bit about how this group got started, the Arts, Culture, and Tourism Policy Committee?
That's a good question. And it goes back, I think, quite a ways and in different areas for each of us. So I could say that certainly for the arts, this was started in part through the Connecticut Arts Alliance, which is the advocacy organization for the creative sector in our state. And we were doing a lot of work around the election, specifically at the gubernatorial election. So we met with all the candidates. We educated them on what our industry presents to the state, what we can do for the state, how we can help them make the state stronger and healthier. And, you know, I think for that reason, and among others, it was really exciting when the governor was elected and decided to form these new citizen-led policy committees that the arts was at the table. And Tina, you certainly have a similar story from the tourism side.
Yeah, we took a parallel path, unbeknownst to really what was going on within the arts community at the time. But for really about the last 12 to 14 months, those of us who are very actively involved in the tourism industry, particularly an organization known as the Connecticut Tourism Coalition, knew that this election was going to be very instrumental for our state across so many different areas. But tourism was one that we really wanted to make sure at first was a consideration for any and all of the candidates. So much like Daniel described, we had a lot of meetings and invited all of the candidates, even pre-primary, to meet with us to learn more about what we've identified as the key facts, key opportunities of the tourism industry in general, and the opportunities within the state. And then, yes, it seemed to bear fruit based on the results of the election, and that within the overall transition process, Governor Lamont identified arts, culture, and tourism as one of the handful of areas that had a committee working to help shape some of the ideas that would go into his initial policy. So it was both a long and short process that we took to put it on the radar screen, but then really from election to within the last week, we were working fast and furiously to craft some action items for him to consider.
So I have in front of me the Arts, Culture, and Tourism Policy Committee briefing to Governor-elect Lamont on, this is from January 3rd, so a couple of weeks ago, and the recommendation of the new investment strategy. It says, in the first 100 days, we recommend a new investment strategy that will accelerate Connecticut's economic growth. That's a pretty strong statement.
Yeah, but yet not unrealistic. You know, strategic work, 100 days is it will be ambitious, but it is a reasonable timeline to do strategic work in terms of all the action items that would flow from that strategic framework. Certainly that will be an ongoing and evolving process, but to commit to optimizing a framework and some programmatic considerations within this really important area of arts, culture, and tourism, we did not think it was unrealistic to assert a 100-day timeline.
Sure, and that was stolen right also from the premise of this project, right? So each of the policy committees were tasked with identifying things that could be accomplished in the first 100 days, as well as opportunities to create new jobs, drive economic development, and create efficiencies or cost savings. So, you know, a lot of this was generated out of that impetus. I think you're right, Tina. I mean, a lot of this was also for the educational benefit of the governor and the incoming administration, right? So even doesn't matter how much work we do during the election, once they come in office, this is really an opportunity to further educate and narrow down our recommendations, as well as things that the governor himself has included in his own policy statement as a candidate. But as everyone says, right, there's a big shift from being a candidate to governing. And this was really, you know, our opportunity to be part of what that change might be.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we could talk a lot about facts and figures and the various recommendations, and we will. But I think just to go maybe a little bit backwards to the underlying philosophy of what you're trying to do. And there's been, for a long time, I think there's been the idea that the arts and tourism, a rich cultural life, is an economic incubator for cities, for certainly for states. Mm-hmm. And we've lived in a culture for the past several years with the budget deficits and a lot of the cuts that have been made of sort of watching a number of organizations that depend on state funding being that being cut. And mm-hmm. so I think I'm understanding what you're doing is really being proactive of saying, put some money into this, and this is going to be a good thing for everyone.
Yeah, we definitely don't compete. I mean, I think there's a lot of different ways to look at it without getting too granular, but our neighboring states, even if we exclude New York State, if we even just look at New England, our neighboring states are eating up all of the potential investments, right? So they're a larger per capita investment in the arts, a much more significant investment in tourism. And so when we think about companies relocating, or even people, you know, citizens relocating, not just out of Connecticut and into Florida, but out of Connecticut and into Providence or into Boston, that's a factor. And I think the investment shift that we're suggesting, for instance, is still a very, very, very small amount of the overall state budget. So that's really one of the opportunities we're trying to make obvious here.
Mm-hmm. I think I'll go ahead, Tina.
Oh no, I just concur with everything Daniel said. We are sadly an exception regionally in terms of the investment in this key area. So as we have seen these changes happen over the last handful of years and decreased funding, et cetera, we have seen neighboring states and even states in other parts of the country that as they invest in these areas, the return is significant and it is quick. So for us to make these types of recommendations, there are case studies that abound to show that it is something that is very worthwhile and very fruitful.
Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, talking about tourism, but tourism, people who go to areas and like areas maybe want to move to areas. And I was thinking along the exact thing that Daniel was saying earlier, because you hear about companies like GE relocating from suburban Fairfield, kind of a dull place, a nice place, but a little bit dull, to Boston, because they want to hire younger people. Younger people want to live in cities. They want to live in Boston. They want to live in Williamsburg. They don't want to live out in suburbia, and they want to live where there is a lot of culture, and that's I think that's what a lot of businesses are really moving toward.
Yeah, definitely. And I think also the it is an opportunity that's nimble and fast and realizable very quickly, right? So there's many, many issues we might talk about related to GE or people leaving for warmer climates, but some of them we can't fix, like the climate, and others are really very cost prohibitive, like infrastructure or transportation. But when it comes to the investment in our industries, it's a fraction of that, and I think the impact is really felt. And one of the ways that I think that was obvious during the election was now Governor Lamont was very clear about the deep impact the arts has had in his life as a mm-hmm. child, playing music and being mm-hmm. in a rock band when he was in high school, and mm-hmm. and how that had permeated through the rest of his life. And so it has this sort of ripple effect that can't even be narrowly quantified in dollars and cents or in companies retained or citizens built, but there's this deep sense of connection to place, and I think that that's actually something that really has continued to resonate with the governor and the administration, that is clearly trying to put a very optimistic and positive and exciting spin around what Connecticut is right now, even through the difficult fiscal environment we're in. And so I think that's kind of a win-win for them to think about our industries and then think about how they're trying to project how the state is.
Mm-hmm. I'm speaking with Daniel Fitzmaurice, who is the executive director of the New Haven Arts Council, and to Tina Tyson, who is at the director of marketing at the Maritime Aquarium at Norwalk. And we are talking about the Arts, Culture, and Tourism Policy Committee. So you have made five recommendations for this initial foray. Why don't you, if possible, briefly talk about what are the essential things that you want to put forward right now?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the first ones is very foundational to the remaining ones, and that's how we will fund arts, culture, and tourism as a state moving forward. So critical to our thinking was we wanted to identify an opportunity wherein it was more of a reallocation of existing funds to better serve arts, culture, and tourism, as opposed to looking for a way to increase. Because wouldn't it be very easy for all policy committees to say, well, we'll just magically find more money? So really foundational was that we would look to the current money that is garnered from the lodging tax, and our lodging tax is rather significant here in the state of Connecticut, but currently only about 10% of the lodging tax revenue that's deposited back to the state goes into the office that funds arts, culture, and tourism, as we're defining it for this purpose. So currently it's about 10%, so one of our key recommendations was to increase that to 25%, again, not by adding more taxes as a source for this, but by shifting some of the dollars that were to go into the general fund into the tourism fund, and then more appropriately name that fund Arts, Culture, and Tourism as opposed to simply tourism, because it is so much more dynamic than that. So that was a very foundational part where we started. We had a lot of information from our own state, but again from neighboring states, that identifies very high and very fast ROI from that type of an investment into these areas. So it certainly was very important rationale to make that shift.
Sure.
Could you define ROI?
Oh, go ahead.
For people who might not know what that means.
Oh, in terms of the return on investment, how quickly we would be able to see that that bear fruit. Tourism conservatively typically sees about a 3-to-1 ROI on investment in tourism, and the arts and culture area, again, conservatively, 7-to-1. So I don't know of many people who would shy away from those numbers.
That's great. And so as you're talking about these various recommendations, What is the mechanism for these things to be made into actual policy?
This one is, it's called a bill. It's how to make a bill. It's like the schoolhouse rock again. So yeah, a lot of the first one in particular requires some legislation. So we're making the recommendation to the governor and to legislators over the next couple of weeks. And without getting too into the weeds or singing the song, you know, there's a big back and forth between the governor and legislators between February and when the budget gets passed. But we certainly know that the governor is really committed to having a balanced budget on time, which is really important, because a lot of this recommendation for our industries is about sustainability and consistency, right? Knowing that the state investment presents kind of the bedrock of support for all of our organizations and businesses. And then on top of that, we can then go out and, you know, raise additional dollars, make exciting events, market these attractions externally. With the state of affairs today, with the decreases coming every single year, both of our industries are at historic lows for state investment. Any direction going forward that moves the needle would be really significant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think of things like the, and you would know this one well, Daniel, the New Haven Arts and Ideas Festival, International Festival of Arts and Ideas, and that has suffered cuts year after year after year for the last number of years, and I think we certainly have seen the programming that's been brought diminished because of that. And it's still a great festival. It's still something I wish I could just take 2 weeks off every year and attend. But just think of how many people that brings to New Haven. That's such an exciting event.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great example, again, where the state was very ambitious and aggressive and innovative when it came to how it was going to make its investment in these industries. And that's really a place we should come back to as the pie gets bigger and start to think about how we can really make, really align all of this together, which is, to kind of jump into it, our second recommendation, really around collaboration and strategy, right? Mm-hmm. So our two camps, if we want to call them that, really hadn't been sitting around the table together all the time, as Tina and I mentioned when we were doing election work, for instance. So we are really advocating that the state take the lead and encourage the separate offices for the arts and for tourism to come together and help us come together in the industry so that we can maximize this investment, we can maximize the opportunities. And this for us is really our kind of efficiency category as well. Mm-hmm. You know, there are amazing tourist entities in this state that should be speaking more to the creative entities and vice versa. And I think this is really where some of the magic happens in order to, again, pull our state into a more positive, more optimistic, you know, we're all in this together light.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the questions I would want to ask, and we're actually getting a little bit close on time here, is what how people can be involved in this. And I see recommendation number three is the Arts, Culture, and Tourism Investment Task Force. So you have a lot of, in the first 100 days, sorts of recommendations here. You guys are going to be very busy. But
it's an important 100 days for our state. Yeah, I could say that our committee was really encouraged, like all of the policy committees were, to be involved past the inauguration. Sorry. So we definitely put some things in here that would require more work from a broader group of stakeholders. So this was limited to just a select group of people that were identified by the administration, but we'd really like to expand that group to include more, and then really move some of these projects forward, like the Cultural Facilities Fund, for instance, which are kind of complicated and exciting models for our state to adopt, and keep continuing to lend some industry expertise while the government tries to create these laws is really important to us.
I know that you had some, or at least I know you had one town meeting in New Haven leading up to the election where a lot of these issues were discussed. Is that going to be, will you be doing anything else like this going into communities?
Yes, and that's a great point that actually leads us in a little bit to the next area as well. the next recommendation is on the topic of regional tourism. So, Daniel and I will lead the parade that boasts about the embarrassment of riches that we have in this state in terms of tourism attractions and arts and culture attractions. So we are so proud of that, but they are very diverse and they are varied and regionally concentrated. So there's been an interest in reexamining how tourism and arts and culture have the optimal organization in terms of regional support for that, so that the attention is specialized and customized as is appropriate. And as part of that process, it dovetails very nicely with a series of listening stops of a listening tour that are going on across the next 4 weeks. It's part of a Blue Ribbon panel on tourism that the speaker is currently hosting across the state. The first one is actually at my facility at the Maritime Aquarium this coming Friday. So that's a great opportunity for anyone involved in arts, culture, or tourism to come and express an opinion or listen to how the process is evolving about this topic of regional support within the state. So that's just one example, but Daniel and I both also represent organizations that are always open to having new members join so that they can be part of the conversation and have the best tools to continue to have conversations with their key constituents. So this is really a process, and there's no shortage of ways to get involved.
There's no silver bullet. So you have to get involved. I mean, I think that's both of our organizations try to really help individuals involved in the industry right on the ground to be competent and get the right data and skills and get their stories ready so that elected officials or even their local officials in their towns can really be heard. We certainly don't want artists to run away as soon as elections happen or as soon as politicians walk in the room, because they definitely want to understand how they can help, and we're trying to provide that through the Connecticut Arts Alliance and the Connecticut Tourism Coalition.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm really glad that very smart and talented and committed people like you two, and I see you have quite a long list of people who are on this committee, are working on this. This is very exciting. I'm feeling more hopeful about Connecticut and the way that we're going than I have in quite a while. And I guess the final recommendation you have is the governor as an advocate.
Yeah. And this is really, a culmination of everything that Daniel and I and our respective groups started well over a year ago. This is a very diverse community and a certainly very diverse sectors, so no one individual can represent all of those things. But to have the single leader of our state be an active, vocal champion of art, culture, and tourism is so key to really bringing this all to life. So it's a simple thing, but it's a very important thing to continue to have his support. And that's the reason why we really had those conversations, back before he was governor and before he was governor-elect and even the leading candidate. So it's very important to bring this to life.
Now, in that recommendation number 5, you have in the first 100 days, open the welcome centers to declare that Connecticut is open for business for its 6.3 million annual visitors. And which are you talking about, the highway welcome centers, or what is that specifically?
Correct. There are some welcome centers along the various highways that have been closed for a pretty long while. So these are not the full service centers with the gas stations and McDonald's and things like that. These are the companion centers that used to be fully staffed and had a number of visitor general information and brochures and things like that. So they are a little bit of an eyesore, and, you know, in a state that you can drive end to end in about 117 miles, depending on the traffic, that, you know, under an hour and a half, we don't think that sends a very strong signal to the dynamic offering that we have for our residents and our visitors. And to your point, the cause for optimism right now in the state. So that's an important thing that we're hoping is will be considered in these first couple of months.
Sure. And Del, I wanted to mention that all of this is finally available to the public. So they now that we gave our presentation to the administration, if you go to ct.gov and you navigate to the governor's site itself, the Governor Ned Lamont section. He has all of the memos and reports and sub-reports and all of these things listed that are publicly available, which is also really exciting and transparent. You know, in hindsight, when we were doing this, Tina, I mean, we have this sort of short list of things the governor could do to prove that he is an advocate. And as I mentioned, during the campaign, he was very open to talking about his experience as a pianist as a child. And he was certainly caught on film many, many times playing pianos, like some of those outdoor pianos that are in various towns in the summer. But I don't think we could have predicted that he would quote Hamilton like 8 million times
during
his initial couple of words as governor. And then furthermore, if anybody caught the dancing clips, I mean, so I want to add to that an addendum that, like, please keep dancing and please keep quoting Hamilton, and I think we're all going to be in a better place in the next couple of years.
Well, and yeah, I would say to you too, please keep doing what you're doing as well. Daniel Fitzmaurice from the Arts Council of Greater New Haven and Tina Tyson from the Maritime Aquarium, I'm just really excited by what you're doing. Thank you very much. Congratulations. And I'll look forward to speaking with you. I want some updates in
the
next few months.
We're happy to.
Okay.
We're happy to.
Thank you very much. And
Thanks, Valerie.
We'll talk soon.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
And you are listening to listener-supported WPKN in Bridgeport at 89.5 FM. We're online at WPKN.org. I'm Valerie Richardson. It's a pleasure to be here with you this afternoon.